Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show, streamed each week across our social media channels on Off the Ball, on YouTube, Facebook and on Twitter. Today I'm joined in studio by Phil Egan and Stephen Doyle from Off the Ball. And we're also going to be joined by Leon Blanche from Punchestown as well, of course, from Boyle Sports. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you.
How you doing, Will?
And Leon should be there as well. It's the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season. And Leon, also the penultimate day of the Cheltenham Festival as well.
Yeah, look, it's been a great festival so far here at Punchestown. There's been some obviously hugely memorable events have taken place. We had the retirement of probably the greatest national hunt jockey of all time, Ruby Walsh, going out at the top, going out on his own terms, which is great to see. He's fit and he's healthy. As we all know, these jumps lads, especially the jumps lads, they put their life in danger every time they get up on the back of a horse. It's the only sport in the world where two ambulances follow you around. And that goes to show you how much danger they put themselves in. But they love it. And Ruby went out on top and Kenboy won the Gold Cup on Wednesday. So, yeah, look, it's been a great week. We've got two more days to go. And hopefully there'll be another couple of stories yet to come.
And Leon, obviously, while it was, you know, a lot of excitement around the Ruby Walsh announcement and maybe shock and surprise, the champion jockey in waiting, Paul Townend, has had a pretty good week as well. It's been a great week for Willie Mullins, hasn't it?
Oh, look, it's been a super week for Willie Mullins. And I think, look, when you look at Willie Mullins over the last kind of 3 or 4 years at Cheltenham, or sorry, at Punchestown, even Cheltenham as well, but especially Punchestown, the prize money is phenomenal down here for the entire week. And he's made Punchestown his own. And I think even this week, he's had plenty of winners. And I think he'll have another couple of winners today. I think there's a horse called Ask Susan running in the 450.
Yeah, of course, we're previewing all of the weekend's football action and looking at all the movement on the market as well. We'll get Leon back in the line in a moment. Remember, if you've had any issues around gambling, you can check out for more information, dunlewy.net. To start the football look ahead, just before we go back over to Leon, Phil, it's an important weekend in terms of this kind of Super Sunday for the top four race, and also two quite important games where ex-Liverpool managers could have a lot to do with Liverpool's title challenge this weekend.
This is it. Like, it's the penultimate weekend, but this is the weekend it's decided. If Liverpool are going to win the league this season, it's going to happen this weekend. They have to beat Newcastle, obviously, but City are not slipping up to Brighton on the final day. That's just not going to happen. Brighton will be safe by then. And I can remember last season, Liverpool played Brighton on the final day to secure a top four spot, and they blew them away. City will do the same in the final day. So it's all about the City and Leicester game on Monday. But Liverpool have to take care of business first, because if they don't beat Newcastle, even a draw, and then City know if they win on Monday, they've effectively won the league because they've superior goal difference. So, yeah, this has the feeling. Like, last week for 63 minutes, you were thinking maybe City aren't going to get this goal against Burnley. It'll be a different type of game against Leicester, where they won't be as solid as the back, but they definitely offer more threats going forward. So the way when you watch City, you always expect them to score first. But if they don't get that second goal, the nerves can kick in. I actually think it's not even the players, it's actually Guardiola. He just looks like he's panicking on the sideline. Even last week, the nerves, the body language, he's rubbing his head, scratching his head, ripping off his cardigan, that kind of thing.
It's the first proper title race he's had to face.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's Premier League time.
And in Germany he used to walk away with the Bundesliga. In Spain he had it pretty much all his way until Jose put it up to him, and that was actually the end of Guardiola. He left Spain and took a sabbatical. So, look, we wanted to go to the final day and we want it all on the line. We need Liverpool to beat Newcastle, and then it'll put the pressure on City. But it's going to be interesting to see Liverpool react after the beaten they took from Barcelona.
We'll look at those two games in a bit more detail. We've got Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports back in the line again. And Leon, the offer for this weekend, of course, all these games have big implications in terms of who's going to limp over the line and take the two places in the top four for the Champions League spots. But our enhanced offer for this weekend for listeners to Off the Ball, all to win, Manchester United, Chelsea and Arsenal, was available at 11-8 and it's been boosted out to 2-1, Leon.
Yeah, look, it's a decent enhancement, Will. I think probably looking at that race for top four, it seems that nobody really wants it. But they're going to have to start wanting it, and they're going to have to start wanting it quite quickly. I do think Chelsea were happy with the draw away at Old Trafford. And I think looking at the superior goal difference that they possess over Man U, you still would fancy Chelsea should they win their last two games to get into that top four. I think United at the moment, they actually played quite well against Chelsea, to be fair to them. And I think they should win their last two matches. And they'll be hoping, obviously, that Chelsea or Arsenal can slip up. Arsenal have lost the last three in the Premier League, but they were very good last night in the Europa League. So I do actually think that these three sides have a serious chance of winning this weekend.
I get the feeling as well, Leon, given Arsenal's away form, if they're to have any chance of qualifying for the Champions League through the league, they have to beat Brighton at home.
Yes, and I think they will beat Brighton. I think Brighton are very poor. And I think the only reason why Brighton are probably going to stay in the Premier League is because the three teams below them are even worse than they are. They're going just on a terrible run of form at the minute, Brighton, and they'll probably just stay up. Look, if Cardiff were to win this weekend, it will certainly put a bit of pressure on. But you'd have to say Arsenal, they should be able to beat Brighton, and they should be on a bit of a high after a very good performance in the Europa League.
Yeah, and I suppose Chelsea against Watford. Watford kind of a difficult prospect at the moment because you know, their mind is maybe elsewhere compared to the Premier League. But this is one where you know, Chelsea have seemed to be trying to get their priorities across both competitions. Eden Hazard left out last night. Gonzalo Higuain left on the bench as well. And Sarri was saying in his post-match press conference, part of the idea was to try and have Hazard fresh for this weekend as well. So Sarri's not putting everything into the Europa League basket here, Leon.
No, because I think he made a big mistake, Will, when he played him in the quarter-final second leg at home, when I don't think he needed to play Hazard. And I think they did suffer because Hazard wasn't as fresh when they went out in their next league game. So I think resting him Thursday night, last night, was a very, very shrewd move by Sarri. And look, you want to try and secure top four, first of all. But I do feel Arsenal and Chelsea are going to fight it out in the Europa League final. I think after those last two results in the first legs of their respective semi.
Yeah, well, we just lost Leon there as Punchestown. But Phil, to pick up the point on this, those three teams who are kind of fighting out for the places, we'll talk about Spurs and Bournemouth in a few minutes' time as well, but vital games which you would expect that treble, you'd expect those three teams to win on Sunday.
Yeah, United will win. I know, Steve, I was going to be at the Huddersfield games. United will win that. Actually, do you know what? If they can win that handsomely, they might make things quite interesting in terms of the goal difference. Because the way things are, you look at Chelsea, they've got two games left. If they win one of those, they should be all right. Now, I think they will beat Watford. I think Hazard, the fact that he only came on just after the hour mark last night, he was the difference when Chelsea and Watford played earlier in the season. I think, you know, he'll be up for it, their last home game of the season in the league. And I think if they get that, that should be Chelsea home and hosed for fourth place, unless United can put in a big one on Sunday in terms of goals. Arsenal still have to go to Burnley. It's the kind of game that you just wouldn't fancy them with. They beat Brighton and then they still have a bit of pressure on Chelsea. But at the moment, I think you mentioned Spurs. Spurs will get the job done and I would still just favour Chelsea. I think they could have actually, they should have won at Old Trafford last week and they could have put it all to bed. But it's still probably going to go down to the final day.
Steve, yourself and Brian Kerr are going to Yorkshire for Off the Ball this coming Sunday. Any chance of Huddersfield at 3-1 pulling off a shock against United, or is this going to go to the script?
No.
which one, Steve?
No, absolutely no chance. Look, Huddersfield's main problem, they've been bad in the box on both ends, and their big money spend was on Kongolo from Monaco last summer. Nearly, it was over 20 million quid, I think, wasn't it? They spent or nearly 20 million quid, and it just didn't pay off. They've no strikers, they've nothing left to play for. There's not even a sense where you would think, okay, maybe a few of these players might get a move to another Premier League club if they've got some decent form. Nothing. Like, the only player you might pick out would be, excuse me, Aaron Moy, who I think could get a move to maybe a lower half club in the Premier League, but they have nothing there. I don't think, I was there recently enough to see Man City play there against Huddersfield, and at that stage, it was just before Wagner got the heave-ho. It was actually the last game, I think, wasn't it, before he got sacked?
Wasn't that the game where Jan Sievert was there, but he wasn't there?
That's right, yeah,
the,
yeah.
It was the random
right. Yeah. Yeah. So
he probably would have done a better job.
It was just a game, yeah. So they did have something to play for then. City, it was just one of those games where City just kind of, they knew they were never going to lose and they just kind of did enough to win it. if Man U can't go to Huddersfield, and it's a local derby of sorts, I'm sure, so maybe the crowd will be up for it. But if Man U can't win that game, they've got bigger problems than we all think. I wouldn't be as straightforward on Arsenal and Chelsea, though, because they're in the midst of big games in the Europa League. I watched Eintracht against Chelsea last night. I fancied Eintracht, but the big problem for them was that they were missing two of their three musketeers, Rebic and Haller. They were a big loss for them. I think if they had those two guys there, they could have won that game last night, or should have. Arsenal, I fancy Valencia to win that tie overall. I think Valencia have too much for Arsenal in the attack, and they haven't got a bad defence regards to defensive midfielders and in the back. So I think Arsenal, he's going to rest a couple of players, I think, for the game on Sunday. I know they need to win games for top four, but I wouldn't be surprised if Brighton go there and get a result. They need this game. They need the 3 points. Pascal Gross back on the score sheet the last weekend. I did a little thing on him a couple of weeks ago where I just explained really where Pascal Gross being missing for most of the season was Brighton's big loss and why they're struggling. And I think the fact that he's found a bit of form again. We've seen Arsenal's great home record was pierced by Crystal Palace a couple of weeks ago. So I wouldn't be as keen on Arsenal. I wouldn't be kind of going all out to say Chelsea United, Arsenal will all win. I think Chelsea as well, they're going to have an eye on this Europa League tie. Eintracht Frankfurt, we saw Slavia Prague give Chelsea problems, and Slavia Prague are pretty rubbish compared to Eintracht Frankfurt. So look, yeah, Watford is a big prize. I think they're 7-1, and fair enough, they've got an FA Cup final to worry about, but they won't be resting players until next weekend, and there's going to be lads wanting to impress their manager this weekend before the Cup final. So yeah, I think Brighton and Watford can both give those sides problems.
Phil, that Arsenal-Brighton game is the South Coast against North London game in North London. Spurs go the opposite direction. They go to the seaside to take on Bournemouth tomorrow. Spurs' form in the league has been poor, very patchy over the last few weeks. They got a bad result against Ajax during the week. Okay, Son Heung-min is back in after serving his suspension on Thursday, and you would imagine that Sissoko probably with a few minutes in the legs is back in. But is there any chance the Spurs stutter again at Bournemouth tomorrow?
Yeah, they kind of remind me a little bit of Liverpool last season, where you felt that they were always going to finish in the top four, but because of their interest in the Champions League, last week they were bringing on Vincent Janssen against Brighton, and that's never a good thing. He obviously wasn't eligible to play. He wasn't in the squad for the Champions League. I think Bournemouth are your classic. We're done now for the season. Like, they actually probably raised things a little bit because they were playing Southampton. There'd be a bit of a derby factor to that game last weekend. So I think Spurs will get the job done tomorrow. And even going back to the Brighton game, Brighton are just going to sit in and say to Arsenal, if you can score against us, grand. If we get a draw, happy days. But I think Arsenal will probably eventually break them down, whether it's in the second half. So the pressure is on.
If Arsenal do win that game tomorrow, it could actually make the last weekend very interesting, because if Cardiff win against Crystal Palace at home, it just means that Brighton still have to get points.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I think that could then make the Man City game very interesting, because City didn't, remember the FA Cup game against Brighton? They won it 1-0, and they struggled to break Brighton down. So I just at this stage of the season, you can't just sit there and go, right, well, this is going to happen because of form. This is the time we get these mad results.
Well, look at last week, Fulham getting a victory against Cardiff when Fulham have literally nothing to play for, and Cardiff should be fighting for their lives in theory.
And Cardiff, like, they really dropped the ball last week because they didn't start going for it to the last 10 minutes, and they laid siege to the Fulham goal. They hit the bar, they missed chances.
They've no finishers, Phil, have they? Like,
they don't really. But the problem is they were too cautious. And if they had won last week, I think Brighton could have gone down.
Yeah.
But the way things are now, Palace go to Cardiff tomorrow. It's the 5:30 game. And if Cardiff don't win, they're gone.
Yeah.
Because, again, going back to goal difference, if they draw, probably won't be good enough.
Yeah, like on paper, it doesn't look like it.
And they go to United on the final day as well.
Exactly.
Cardiff.
Yeah,
so they have to win.
The
tomorrow.
Thing as well about Cardiff and Palace is that it does look like an intriguing game on the face of it. But Palace have great away form. We know that they can be very good on the road. They're better on the road than they are at home. And they might be kind of looking, well, you know, Cardiff are going to come at us because they need to win this game. They need to get the points so we can just pick them off. And that's where it gets dangerous for Cardiff, you know, because they need to be really careful not to go too gung-ho. I think you might have a very low-scoring first half or maybe no goals at all in the first half, and then they might start coming in the second half. But, yeah, like, isn't it funny, like, with Neil Warnock, he seems to... They've got results along the season when they really needed to get them, haven't they?
I actually think they might get something because the fact that you don't have Sacco in there. Tompkins isn't there at the moment either. They're a bit light in central defence. And even Guaita, I'm not convinced as a goalkeeper. So I think aerial bombardment, the way Cardiff will play. But they have a decent enough record against teams below them or near them, in the Premier League, especially at home.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be tight. I don't think they'll get caught out like they did against Fulham, but I said a draw isn't good enough. So what do they probably go, keep it tight, try and pick them off and try and get something from set pieces. And then maybe if there's 10 minutes to go, they have to go for it. And that's probably when Palace will actually pick them off.
They did that against Newcastle a few weeks back.
We don't know what team Palace will play.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, just to pick up, we were kind of briefly touched on earlier about the top two being in action this weekend. Liverpool obviously coming off quite a difficult night on Wednesday night at the New Camp. They go to Newcastle, who you would imagine this is not a bad time to play Newcastle, given that things are safe for them around the bottom because of the way the last few weeks have gone. You would imagine they're not going to be too motivated to try and stop Liverpool this weekend.
Well, you know, Rafa still is motivated, you know. He's got, you know, he needs to negotiate here with Mike Ashley or else another club. So I think, and I don't think there's going to be any of this kind of Rafa doing Liverpool any favours. You know, he's a professional here and we've seen he's managed at all sorts of clubs. There's no, as much as he loves Liverpool, there's no kind of sentimental ties there or whatever. I just think it is a tricky game for Liverpool. And I've been listening to arguments all week why Newcastle could win this game and finish the title off for Manchester City. But I just think, you know, I know Liverpool might be a little bit, they might be reading a little bit after the game at Barcelona during the week. I just think that whatever way you slice and dice it, Liverpool are going to have too much here. They're not going to win it big. It could be 1-0, might be 2-1. Newcastle might get a goal, but I don't think you can make an argument for Newcastle, all right, and the atmosphere is going to be pretty intense at St James's Park. But I just think this Liverpool side are going to be too good. He probably will make changes, won't he, Klopp?
I'd imagine Trent Alexander-Arnold comes in.
He should have started, I think, against Barcelona. Yeah. He was a bad move playing Gomez.
I think I can understand why he played Gomez. He did the same against City at Anfield earlier this season. He's worried about Trent Alexander-Arnold defensively. But what happened in the end was, you know, Jordi Alba was going to have joy down the left anyway. Maybe Liverpool would have been better served trying to keep him
pushing back,
pinned in a bit. The fact as well is Liverpool actually had a lot more possession than maybe we thought they
would have expected themselves even.
They had 18 crosses. Now we know Robertson can cross, Joe Gomez can't cross. There was a few times when he got it down the right and he couldn't put in a ball, whereas Trent Alexander-Arnold, that is what he does.
Was there a chance that Klopp was maybe expecting Dembélé to play as opposed to Coutinho?
Possibly
a bit of a stretch on that side.
You kind of have to wonder what it means for Trent Alexander-Arnold that Klopp didn't play at Old Trafford either, played Milner as a right back. So here's this really young, talented player who is rivaling his fellow fullback for who has the most assists in the Premier League this season, and he doesn't get the nod for the really big games. So like, he's still very young, but you can understand why sometimes he leaves him out, because sometimes Alexander-Arnold can be quite lax. I think back to Sané's winner in the Manchester City and Liverpool game. Maybe I'm being hypercritical of Alexander-Arnold, but I thought he could have done better for that goal.
Yeah, I've never liked him defensively. I think he still has a lot to learn. He was a winger originally, wasn't he? And he kind of converted to a fullback from a young age, I think.
And I think people feel that his long-term position will not be as a fullback.
Yeah. The only other thing I would say, Klopp might have been thinking, well, listen, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold is maybe the player that I need for the Newcastle game, where he can whip in a few crosses against Newcastle, put their defence under a bit of threat. Maybe he's the lad that I need. And I think maybe in the long term, it probably is going to be Gomez and Trent Alexander-Arnold as a right defence.
You think so?
Matip isn't really the long term.
He's not, but he's. I have to say, Matip has impressed the last few weeks. He's been like, I thought he was Liverpool, apart from Robertson. Like Matip outshone Van Dijk in the Nou Camp the other night. He was brilliant. But the thing about the way Newcastle are going to play, they're going to play three at the back, going to play wing backs like Spurs did. Think of the space that Robertson and Alexander-Arnold got in the first half against Spurs. So that's going to be the outlet for Liverpool at St James's. But it's the last game, last home game for Newcastle this season. 7:45, that place is going to be absolutely hopping.
And the other thing as well is the form, Phil, at St James's Park. Like, you just look there.
Six of the last seven.
Yeah, and it's like they're 1, 2, 3. The last four games, Liverpool have failed to get a win at James's Park. It's been two draws and two defeats to Newcastle. So, yeah, it hasn't been a happy hunting ground for them. But I just think this is, like, when you, the teams that would have went in those past seasons, this is a much better Liverpool team now that's going to be going.
Actually, Matip was at fault for the goal last season. Went in off Hostelu. He played it in off him. And remember, Coutinho scored an absolute wonder goal. But, yeah, it's not a game I see Liverpool losing.
Yeah.
But
a draw is as bad as a defeat here.
Absolutely. Because if they draw, they're level on points at City. And City win on Monday, the league's done.
Yeah.
Because the goal difference is too big.
I'm still going for a Reds win, though, I think.
Yeah, I think they... Yeah, I think you're looking at maybe kind of 1-0, maybe 2-1 job, but it's not going to be an easy watch for Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
The other selection thing I wonder about, lads, is, and I presume it's the medical team who will make a big call on this too, is whether Firmino is actually going to start for Liverpool this weekend, because Firmino was only fit to come on for some of the game at the Nou Camp. He's had this muscle tear which saw him miss the Huddersfield game. You'd imagine that front three might rotate a little bit anyway with Tuesday in mind.
I think they missed him really during the week, because I think as well, we know how good he can be defensively in that advanced position where he can spray down attacks from the opposition team. I think he would have been the ideal man for Busquets. He would have been perfect. It was a muscle tear. That was the diagnosis we were given. So are you going to risk him ahead of a big game against
what
Barcelona?
What do you do? Like, I felt sorry for
Origi. Origi looked really lively when he came on during the week. And
I think Wednesday night was another little reminder, as good as Liverpool have been, that there is still a question mark over the depth. They've obviously got depth in midfield. We know Kate has gone for the season now, but they have players there. Like, remember, towards the end of the last season, like Milner, Henderson, Wijnaldum, that was all they had, because Chan was injured, he was coming back, Lallana was coming back. They were basically playing every game. Now he has Fabinho, Henderson and Milner. Obviously, Wijnaldum plays in there as well. Kate has gone now. It's a blow, because he was actually starting to play really well. But when you're in a Champions League semi-final at the Nou Camp and you need an away goal, Divock Origi is not the answer, but that's what he had. Shaqiri, there's obviously something there. He picked up an injury. He didn't play the international games for Switzerland in March. So that would suggest that he's probably not fully fit, because Klopp isn't picking him. Origi will run all day for you.
Yeah, I think he could be perfect for Newcastle. You know, you give those Newcastle centre-backs something to think about. You pull them out of position. You know, he's really lively. He's got plenty of energy. So, yeah, I'd definitely go with him. And you'd wonder, like, would he maybe might rest Salah or Mane.
I don't think
give Shaqiri a run out. Look, I suppose you got to play your best players, don't you? It's not a game really where you can afford to rest guys. Even though, I think the Barcelona tie is dead and buried anyway. I just can't see any way.
Can't see them scoring four.
Yeah,
it's four. Really four an answer. Four if Barca win. If it's our best score goals.
No, I think if they get an early goal, I think Barcelona are like, I think Valverde did so well the other night where he realised that something had to change, so we brought on Semedo, and basically it stifled Liverpool for a bit, it stopped the flow, and then, you know, obviously Messi takes over. But I think if Liverpool score an early goal, we'll see what Barcelona really made of. Like, they capitulated away at Roma last season. I know
the thing is, Roma had the away goal. If that Salah goal had gone in where he hit the post, it's a different time maybe.
Well, I mean, then they only would have needed two, but I just think if Liverpool are even 1-0 up with 15 minutes to go, like the tie, it's still there for them, because it's just, Anfield is a strange place in terms of atmosphere, where when Liverpool are on a roll, especially under Klopp, things can happen quickly. Like, I suppose we saw the difference in the advantage Liverpool had last season of playing their big ties the first leg at home, where they blitzed City, they blitzed Roma, whereas now Barcelona did them in the space of 7 minutes, and Liverpool are facing an uphill task. But I'd be kind of thinking maybe Liverpool have about a 20% chance to turn it around.
Saying it for weeks, folks, that Barcelona defence has to be respected. They're not conceding goals.
Best defence in the Champions League this
Champions League. They've only conceded six. They've got six clean sheets out of 11. Sorry, it was 7 out of 12, isn't it, after the week. They've got to be respected, this Barcelona defence. Longley and Piqué have been absolutely tremendous. Busquets in front of them. Rakitic is playing fantastic stuff. And I know, this is the funny thing, Messi has been getting headlines all week, and deservedly so. The man is a genius. He's going to be going down as probably the greatest of all time.
Suarez's best game in a long time.
It is. And the thing about Valverde is, he went in there and he got that Barcelona team playing like a team. They play for each other. Did you see Arturo Vidal making that tackle near the end the other night? Like, they're all playing for each other. It's not just about Messi within that team dressing room. It's about that they're playing for each other. This is the most important thing. And Ter Stegen as well is not getting respect enough as well as a goalkeeper. He made some really crucial saves the other night. He's been doing that all season. Barcelona have been defending well all season. And I just think, you know, I cannot see Liverpool scoring without conceding during the week. And I think it's Barcelona are going to win the whole thing, to be honest.
We'll have a look at the bets then, in terms of the picks. Last week then, we had defeats across the board, unfortunately. Kevin Kilbane went for Leicester to win and Manchester United to win, 5-1. No luck on that for Kev. Phil went for a draw between Spurs and West Ham at 4-1. If Spurs could have got you an equaliser.
Yeah, I never fancied Spurs to win that game.
Yeah, you're right.
Fancied them to win it. And great goal from Antonio.
That was a loser, unfortunately. Steve-O, you went for Southampton to win. We got the kind of thrilling draw, so you got the over 1.5 goals part was no problem. And you were also hoping Spurs would win.
But yeah, I should have listened to Phil.
Should have.
Phil was spot on.
It's not often he says that.
Leon Blanche last week went for Southampton to win. That was a draw in their derby against Bournemouth, which is 3 apiece. And he also wanted a draw between Brighton and Newcastle, which did come in at 1 each. But that was also a loser at 5-1.
Say one thing, Southampton are going to be great to watch next season.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see who they sign. Yeah. I think Shane Long, you know, hopefully he gets a little bit of a longer stay there. But I just think Hasenhüttl, I just can't wait to see Southampton next year. I think they're going.
I like that they didn't dig in. I like that they've tried to play football the right way and score goals.
This is what they used to do. They had a plan. They had project managers and they had plans. And then they hired Mark Hughes. Like Claude Puel had a plan.
Sold Tadic for £10 million, by the way, as well. Anyway,
but Claude Puel had a plan. But Claude's just not sexy enough.
Yeah,
he's too quiet and you know, he got them to a League Cup final. They finished 8th. They still got rid of him. But Mark Hughes, when they hired him, they were going down the wrong path. So they've redeemed themselves with this Hasenhüttl appointment. And yeah, can't wait to see. And
it'd be interesting, actually. I'd like to see the Antipost before next season, see Southampton maybe getting a top 10, top 8 finish, something like that. Yeah. That might be worth
top 8, top 7 probably be an interesting market for next
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
This week's bets then. I've gone for 2 draws. West Ham against the aforementioned Southampton tomorrow at the London Stadium. And also, I think it's going to be a draw between Cardiff and Crystal Palace, which will effectively relegate Cardiff. But I think Palace can get a point in that
one. Neil Warnock is watching, Will.
Yeah, 11-1. See you next week, Neil. Stephen has gone for Everton to win, but on the handicap market, Stephen, you think they're going to win by a couple of goals against Burnley tonight then?
Yeah, I think, look, Burnley, if they've done what they had to do, they're safe now. They've conceded, looking at their away form, they conceded a lot of goals away from home. Two obviously most recently against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. And I was at Goodison Park recently for the Everton Man U game. And I had been there in January for the Bournemouth match, and it was just like a church. It was so quiet against Bournemouth, but it was just a different stadium altogether against Man U. Now, I know obviously they won 4-0, but even before the goals start going in, the place was rocking. And I just think Everton now, they definitely have, they're motivated to try and get that top 7 spot. They're playing really well, they're full of confidence, and I definitely think they could beat Burnley 2-0, 3-1, whatever.
Okay, well, that's potentially coming in for you there at 6-4. And Phil, you reckon Man City are going to make a flying start on Monday night against Leicester? They're going to score in the opening 10 minutes?
Yeah, they tend to score in the opening 5 minutes. I think they'll score in the opening 10 minutes. And what is going to then be the interesting part of the game is, can they get that second? If they don't get the second, then things start to get nervy for them. And Leicester have a few players that will hurt them. They've already beaten them this season. The interesting thing about the defeats that City, okay, I know they lost to Chelsea, that was a 2-0 defeat, but when they lost to Crystal Palace, when they lost to Leicester, when they lost to Newcastle, they scored early in all those games, couldn't get the second goal, and then teams get back into it and the confidence comes. Leicester conceded very early against Liverpool. Liverpool then couldn't build on that, and Leicester were very good. Liverpool fans will be hoping something similar happens where City score early. Well, they don't want them to score early, but if they do score early, they can't put them away.
The only thing I'd say as well about that game is it's going to be really interesting. I don't think it's as cut and dry. I think that's a good shout, City scoring early. But I don't think the result is as cut and dry because you've got a number of factors. Tielemans now has been linked with Man U and a couple of the other big clubs. He's got a big stage now to play on. I think he's going to play. He's going to be motivated to try and do something special. I think James Maddison as well thinks he can play at a bigger club. He's going to want to go out there and do something really special. And then you've got the Vardy factor as well. Like, you know, Vardy running off the shoulder, whether it be Company, Stones, whatever the
if
case
it's Company, Jamie Vardy be licking his lips if it's
absolutely
Company.
Yeah. I think he's 4-1 any time or something like that. It's not a bad show for a five or better, something like
and
that.
And there could
maybe,
be the pressure on City. If Liverpool win, they're playing catch-up. They haven't had to do it too many times this season, but the pressure could be on.
Brendan Rodgers would go down as one of the greatest Liverpool managers.
He'll say he finally won the league 5 years too late.
Like, has he done his press conference yet?
He did, yeah.
Can't wait to listen back to that.
Yeah, no, he said he's not worried about Manchester City. He's only worried about Leicester City.
Was he wearing the three-piece suit?
He wasn't, no. He went for the casual, just off the training ground look.
Outstanding. Yeah. Kev then for this week has gone for a double. He's gone for Wolves to win against in-form Fulham, and he's also gone for Manchester United to win their game away to Huddersfield on Sunday. And if you follow Kev's tip there, 2-1. What do you reckon on that one, lads, before we go?
Yeah, that's actually a good shout.
Yeah. Wolves, yeah, no, they're still going for that top seven. Fulham, I know they've had a good couple of decent results, but yeah, Fulham should have too much for them, definitely.
And then United will win, although they did lose their last season.
They did.
But De Gea is going to play.
But that was the Lindelof, was it?
Lindelof, yeah. The Potter. Yeah,
that awful.
It was a really windy day.
Yeah.
I remember we did the game on Premier League Live and they went 2-0 up and yeah, it was...
Better bring me warm coat, so.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, De Gea is going to play. It makes no sense to drop him when you've got Huddersfield and Cardiff. Two games you're probably going to win.
Romero's injured as well, isn't he? I think Solskjaer said he's
injured.
Lee Grant's on the bench.
I mean, that would ruin De Gea if he's been replaced by Lee Grant. But yeah. It's like when Pepe Reina got dropped for Brad Jones.
It's the end if you do that.
It's not going to do you any good.
Yeah.
But De Gea just goes off then in the summer, regroups, comes back, and gets back to the form that we're used to.
Or he gets a transfer somewhere else.
I don't think so. No.
Might be nowhere for him to go. Lads, enjoy the weekend. Steve, enjoy your trip to Huddersfield
as well.
Best of luck with your tips. Best of luck if you're having a bet this weekend as well. And we'll speak to you again next Friday for the last show of the year.
Football on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.